Dad, I was swimming in a rainbow with millions of babies, and I was naked. And then all of a sudden, I turned into a perfect smile.
I was actually trying to reach a person named Fegmut, and he had requested information from our university. I'm thinking I must have the wrong telephone number.
Andrew, Brian, Obsidian, and Scott Johnson are Extra Life Radio. How were the graphics?
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hi, this is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, and I play the role of Tom Zarek, and you are listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is Extra Life Radio number 107 for September 26, 2006. I'm Scott Johnson. And this is the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. Log in, check it out. It's on the internet, you know. It's what the kids are calling it. It's great times. Go check it out. And you will have to pardon me ahead of time. I may cough off and on through the show because I'm just getting over a hideous flu cold head and chest thing. But I think we're going to be okay. And boy, if you think I sound bad, you should hear Brian. We'll get to that in a minute. This show is sponsored in part by, in part two by, in part by, sponsored in part by. Nothing sounds right to me today. YouBuyNow.com. Go check them out at YouBuyNow.com. Use Extra Life as your code and save 10% on that next action figure your wife or girlfriend does not want you to buy. We are also sponsored in part by ArcadeTown.com. Log in and check out some of the great games they have over there. For a good time on the internet, there's ArcadeTown.com. All right, welcome to the show, everyone. We have a fun one planned for you. We have a little bit of sad news. Before we get to that, let's just quickly introduce the normals.
Andrew's dead.
You know what, earlier?
Actually, I do think it would be necessary. Before we begin, I would like to dedicate today's podcast
to Andrew.
To Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew, wherever you are, keep on chasing that rainbow.
Yeah. Keep on.
Unless you're at a gay bar, dude. Well, then keep on chasing that rainbow, I guess. But no, this is the thing. He's DOA tonight. Or not DOA. What's the word?
People are thinking he's dead right now.
No, MIA, and missing in action. I didn't mean dead on arrival. Holy crap, what's wrong with me? He is not dead, and better not be, because then I'd feel really bad if he died tonight. No, he's got some...
Why tonight? Would you not feel bad if he died?
Well, no.
Maybe tomorrow?
Because I just said all that stupid stuff, so it'd really come back to haunt me.
You'd feel guilty.
Scott.
You'd feel like you killed him.
But the thing is, he's got some crazy work schedule. He has to work around, so he could not be here tonight. Ironically, on a night where he was bound to have much to say on our main topic. And so we'll have to see how that goes.
Does Andrew not have much to say?
He always has plenty to say. Sometimes it's things about Lowe's, and other times about cabbage. And occasionally it's something about anteaters in a car or on a train or something like that.
But aardvarks. I think he likes the name.
Oh, aardvarks, that's it. But we'll make up for that for him.
I do have some great news about Andrew, though.
What's that?
No, although he might be dead and he's not with us anymore. Good news for all you rational people of the world. Andrew did not buy a Mac.
Yeah, he did not. But it's not for the reason you wish it was, is it? Tell him the truth. What's the reason?
The fact remains he is not a Mac owner.
Yeah.
Why is irrelevant. He's not a Mac owner.
He fixed his PC. He fixed his PC. We did it for like $50 or
something. Yeah. And thanks to Brian for swooping in. The bottom line was this. Andrew was all set to get the big Mac Pro. It was going to help his wife out. Or not his wife. His girlfriend. Because she does stuff at the school and blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
why don't you just say significant other?
Significant other. And so he was going to do that. And then it all kind of crashed around him. And it didn't work out. And they couldn't do whatever. And so instead, Brian said, well, look, here for $50, we'll get your old board or a board that's equivalent. And bam, you're back in business with your PC the way it was. So there you
Booyah!
Go. Yeah. Not because he didn't want a Mac. Let's just make that clear. Because we all secretly want one. All right.
Well, no, I'll admit, if you give me one as a present, I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, I didn't even have to...
I'll sell it and buy two PCs with it, but...
I didn't have to even... whatever, dude, you're such a piece of crap.
it's not true.
I know, it's probably true. Hey, how'd you like my minicast? Did you guys listen to that thing? I got what crazy last week and did that Chinese
guy. Yeah, that was...
I never listened to your minicast.
Oh.
I got Well, you don't look at my site.
I do, too. I was there today. And what is with your latest comic? That blurred out thing? I don't even want to talk about it. Holy crap.
What blurred out thing?
You know what I mean. The pixelated
ninja toy. Yes, the pixelated. Yeah. Right that I can't say that word anymore because of that kid that they don't let listen to the show anymore. I'm not allowed to say ever again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's the word. But no,
what'd I say?
You should. You didn't.
Oh, no.
You should listen to that minicast and hear me offend the Chinese more than I do the Mexicans. Yeah, because it was good times. I had fun with it.
Okay, I'm going to listen to a minicast because you offend the Chinese now.
It starred Ding Pong, and it was Star Wars in 30 seconds. You got to hear it. It's good. Anyway. So
I liked all the special effects you had in there. That was awesome.
Yeah, it made it sound like an NPR special or something, and a crowd was there and everything. So
if
you guys
haven't listened to it, check it out.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it, it's a show right before this one. It was just a little short minicast. And the good news is, or the bad news, depending on your point of view, I will be doing the A-Team in 30 seconds. I will be doing...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll be doing the Indiana Jones trilogy in 30 seconds. I'll be doing Lord of the Rings.
Wait, the whole trilogy? Or would it be like each one in 30 seconds?
And with Brian's...
By the way, if anybody's wondering, I have a mouthful of a sandwich right now.
We can tell. And Brian will be happy to hear I'm going to try to do Riptide. I don't know enough about the show.
Right.
I'll need his help, probably.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you haven't noticed, that's Obsidian, that's Brian. Welcome to the show. I was like right in the middle of like introducing you guys. Of course, Brian comes from Mission
Deep. We're
beyond
introductions right now. I mean, we have so much.
Yeah, but I got to give you
now that we can just like directly smell our butts.
I know, but I got to give you guys like plugs. So if you want to go to Brian's site, missiondeep.com. I shouldn't have used the word plug. If you want to learn more about Obsidian, go to commissionedcomic.com. All right.
Commissioned.
Well, listen to us. Do we sound like a freaking bathhouse?
I know. I'm doing the podcast from my laptop, and I'm in the bed right now.
Are you really? For reals?
Yeah, right.
Oh, I didn't even know you had a laptop.
If I fall asleep.
There's no way that's where you are. All right, so this might be the tone of tonight's show might be different, not just because of the lack of Lowe's and cabbage jokes, but because it's just the three of us, and it's just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
We've done this before, but it's been a while, so not a big deal.
Scott feels weird.
It's been a while.
Now, speaking of Riptide.
What? Weird.
Someone did send me this. I was thrilled about this. Check it out. All right, so we got the Riptide theme. Dude, you really like that show more than you were letting on.
I insist. It was just that Brian's parents, when he was little, only let him. I mean, they told him every show was Riptide.
Riptide.
Yeah, Riptide. What's this, Dad? Riptide.
Yeah, go watch Riptide.
Leave me and your mother alone. Take your camera out of the bedroom. Just kidding. All right, so. Oh, okay. This is the other thing I want to talk about. That was just kind of a side note. And thanks to the guy who sent that in. I don't have your name here.
And Daddy are playing camping. That's why the bed looks like a tent.
When I was in my late preteens and early teens, I was really into Dr. Demento. Now, I can't speak for everybody else, but I used to stay up. That thing was on at like midnight where I lived. And I would stay up and listen to that thing because I couldn't wait to hear all the weird music. And one of the high points of that was always Weird Al Yankovic, right?
Yeah.
As my dad would say, Weird Al Yankovic. Now, which way is it? Because I think it's Yankovic.
I think it's Yankovic.
Yeah,
myself.
That's what I'm going with.
What do I know? Let's call him.
Obsidian hasn't. They'll,
come on the line.
They'll be getting Demento in a couple of years. Yeah.
I think it's Yankovic, too.
Okay, thank you. Well, the flowing like water through the internet has been this new white and nerdy video that everybody and their dog has seen 1,500 times. Yeah. And the reason it's really resonated, obviously, is they've really captured, they basically captured me. in a big way. But a lot of people like us. And so I thought I'd just play a little snippet of it here and recommend you watch it. Check this out.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I want to roll with.
Okay, good stuff. I won't play the whole thing, but I'll play it in the background so the listeners can hear it. But if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Some of the references are just too good. Anytime a song has a reference to who's better, Picard or Kirk, you're down with me. I'm good with that. A couple other things you can sweep under
down with the John.
We got to sweep under the rug before we get to the big topic. I apparently have offended somebody with my comment that something is as gay, quote-unquote, gay as a French horn. You guys have heard me do that before.
But I said that, not you.
Well,
I mean,
I
yeah, you said it first, but I said it last show.
You did, but you were quoting me, and so all fingers point, all fingers...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm being fingered again, as it were. This guy wrote this in.
Okay, now you offended, Oh, wait, I can't say lesbians on the show, right?
No, you can't. No. That and the other word. But this is the, this is someone named Tacos, which makes me...
Okay.
Strangely hungry. But anyway, this is what he has to say about my comment.
Hey there, Scott and the gang. This is Tacos. And on last week's show, Scott said something that disturbed me. He said, gay as a French horn. Now, I could understand gay as a French man, but the French horn is awesome. So, Scott, next time, say gay as a Frenchman. Thanks. No offense to the French. Of course.
No offense to any gay Frenchmen.
Do we have I'm sorry. No offense to French people in general.
That man has way too much love for the French horn.
You think so? I do, yeah. Too. He even had music.
Yeah, I'd have to agree to that. Why? Now, I would ask him. I would call him out and ask him to please call us back and tell us what is it that is so awesome about the French horn.
Have you ever seen
a
French horn?
Most of all, what is it that is so masculine about the French horn?
Exactly. I still think it's an entirely appropriate comment, and yet he seems to have trouble with it. And so what he's saying is rather than apply it to a soulless instrument, let's go ahead and apply it to actual living people in a country called France.
Oh, man. Now he's going to call and tell us that the French horn has a soul.
He may. He very well may. Anyway, so thanks for that call in there, Tacos. We really appreciate anything you come up with. Now, before we move on to the topic and some other things, I did want to give Obsidian a chance to kind of tell us his deal this week. And I know we talked about it a lot before the show, but I'd like the listeners to hear why somebody would go through two scanners in a week. So all you aspiring web cartoonists out there, what happened? Give us the lowdown. And how do you get a scanner in Colombia? Who do you have to kill to get that is my question.
Well, you know, it's just the normal thing. You know, you go out, you kill about two or three people, you buy a bag of milk.
You bring back
your ears.
And
then the scanner just pops out.
Yeah.
Okay. No. It's pretty simple. Like, I mean, anybody that's an illustrator, anybody that works, and that's kind of like us, we don't have a Cintiq board or a tablet PC or any of that fancy stuff. We actually do our drawings and we scan them.
Is it Cintiq?
Also, so basically,
is it Cintiq? How do you pronounce that thing from Wacom or Wack?
How do you pronounce
that's the other question. Is it Wacom or Wacom?
Wacom.
Okay, let's say it's Wacom. I always thought it was Cintiq or Cintiq.
Cintiq.
Okay, now you're gay as a French horn.
All right, I'm gay as a French horn. Being held by a gay French man.
Cintiq.
Obsidian, do you use your... Do you use your scanner as much as, say, some of these boys who are posting porn to the internet? You think you use it that much?
Some of these boys.
Wait a minute. You've been seeing that. You've been looking at that site where people scan their balls, haven't you?
Oh, my gosh. Who does
no.
that?
But that's interesting.
That exists?
There's actually a site where people scan their balls, and there's also
ScanMyBalls.com.
I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be named that way. And
they're
going to
name
another site where people
what's that blurry thing on my
screen?
Wait a minute.
I just remembered what it is, but I shouldn't say that URL here, right?
No, you can. No. Yeah, if it's going to... I got that kid still, remember? That 14-year-old kid?
Yeah.
The kid that can't listen to the word dilbo.
This is no more perverse than scanning your butt. You know, it's just
I mean, balls, butt—they're all down there.
Yeah, well, usually when you get the butt, you get the other.
They're all down there, dude. That's true. Okay, so tell us.
But anyway,
keep going. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I use my scanner about 3, 4, 5 times a day. Most of the times that I use it several times because most of the images I scan don't fit in the scanner.
Like his butt.
Anyway, like any other illustrator, the scanner is a major part of the work I do. Now, last week, I don't know why. I mean, I honestly don't know why this happens to me. I turn on the scanner. Well, I mean, I don't turn it on. It turns itself on. Anyway, I put in the piece of sentient scanner. Yeah, I put in the drawing, I open Photoshop, and it scans bright green everything.
Ooh.
Did you say to it, I would prefer white, please? And did it reply, I'm sorry, Dergio Fellatio, I can't do that.
because your cat took a big dump on me.
So, I mean, this has happened before, just not that way. I mean, I've had scanners that when maybe the lamp is not moving well or anything, they start scanning with little pieces of yellow or stuff like that. But this was bright green, the whole image, and there was not even a hint of the image I was trying to scan.
So do you keep your psychedelic drugs in there? Is that reason why I see all these funky colors?
Yeah, that's...
Is that where you had it in? Okay.
So right next to it, I have another, which is one of those composite things
Andrew.
That's a printer, a photocopier, and a scanner.
Yeah.
It's a Hewlett-Packard one.
Ah.
And
love
so
the
HPs.
Great stuff those guys make. I'm being sarcastic. Everything I ever own,
I
HP.
I like my HP stuff.
My stuff takes a dump every time I look at it. Oh, come here, computer, work for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you're an HP. Oh, digital camera, what's the matter? Oh, the batteries don't charge anymore? Why? Well, I'm an HP. What do you expect?
Oh, I plug straight into my Mac and it works. Wait, no, it doesn't.
My Mac is never not working. It's working currently. HP sucks. Stands for...
beep, burp. Didn't you say beep, burp, poop?
Beep, burp, poop.
Beep, burp, poop. Those are great sounds.
Anyway,
keep going.
I turn to the HP, which is a scanner, a printer, and a photocopy machine.
Yeah.
And I try to scan, and the lamp won't move. The lamp won't budge. So, now, the basic problem I've got here, because a lot of people have told me, why don't you just fix them, is... They're not mine. Now,
what?
Before you start saying Obsidian is an ass, I mean, what does he mean that he won't fix them because they're not his?
Yeah.
What do you mean they're not yours?
I mean, okay. Now,
in the sense that no man owns anything.
Yes, of course. Okay. No. In the sense that they belong to somebody else, and they let me use them. Oh. So I am going to fix them eventually.
Moral of the story is.
I had to buy my own because, you know, these people are going to need these eventually, and, well, they're going to be broken, and I'll fix them then. But anyway.
Here's your broke crap.
So
thanks for letting me use it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. This thing's awesome. It rocks. And let me just
say
this before you finish.
No, wait.
Let me finish this before you finish your scanner story because I got to say this about combined. I have to make this known about combined copier printer scanners. And this is the bottom
they
line
suck.
With those people. Not only do they suck, here's the thinking behind them. The brilliant geniuses behind them sat around going, you know, instead of making 3 really good products, let's make 1 really crappy one that does all 3 things, and none of them do them as well as they would if they were on their own. That's the bottom line. I hate them. They suck. They're terrible. Brian, I hope you enjoy yours. Go on with your story.
This is what I got to say.
Uh-oh, and it's a sick Southern accent.
Yeah. I had an HP 5200C. Yeah. Serviced me well. It is a standalone scanner. Did well for his time.
How are you doing with your scanner, man?
It serviced him well.
Serviced me well. But anyway.
Yeah.
It worked for a really long time. It actually still works.
Yeah.
But, and I paid like $400 for it when it was new. And, but I went out and.
Wait a minute, $400?
That's expensive, dude. Wait a minute, why the hell did you pay $400 for one of those things?
Dude, this is back in the day.
back in the day when $400 meant nothing?
Was it one of those?
Was
were
oh, yeah, yeah. Back in the day when we'd eat and we'd just let food, you know.
Dude, I had a 19-inch CRT Sony that I paid $800 for at one point in
time.
Oh, okay?
My God.
Stuff used to be a lot more expensive back in the day.
Yeah.
I bought this stuff back like in 98, 99.
This is when those scanners were as big as like a Crown Victoria. They were giant. Yeah. And they used a big SCSI interface.
Anywho, it was a great scanner. It's still a great scanner, but as technology becomes smaller and cheaper to produce, I get the same. That scanner is the same quality as the scanner that I have now. This all-in-one that I paid $69 for. It scans just as good. It may die in a week. Who knows? But hey, go out and buy another one for $69. Who cares? Throw the thing away. I've ran out of ink out of this printer. And I'm not putting new ink in it because it'll cost me $30 or $40 to put new ink in it, and I can just get a new one for $69. So
that's a fair point. I guess I'm okay with that. All right, so Obsidian. So your bottom line is you bought something made by a company called Genius, and I still say that company does not exist.
I did not
exist
buy
here.
Something from a company named Genius.
Oh,
I refused.
That's right. That's
I mean,
right.
That's the whole problem. That I went to a store to buy a scanner, and all they had was a brand that Scott says he has never heard of, but
never
I say it's pretty big, a brand named Genius, and that's all they had. And then I went to another store, and here's like the big part of the story. I go to the guy that works at the store. I'm like, I'm looking for a scanner. And he looks at me and says, are you looking for a single scanner? Yes.
I would like one unattached to another scanner, please.
I'd like one that is not married currently.
Yeah. And he goes, no, you see, all the scanners we sell here are the printer photocopy, scanner thing. I'm like, no, I'm just looking for a simple scanner. And he looks at me like I'm stupid, and he goes, oh, single scanners are obsolete.
Oh, my gosh, I would have freaked out.
Just like you.
Dude, are you sure you weren't in a CompUSA here in the U.S.? Because that's what they act like there, too. They're so stupid.
I bet I was at the equivalent.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up buying a scanner of a brand called BenQ, which Brian says is pronounced Bank.
BenQ, whatever.
And it's a very nice, nifty scanner that would fit in my pocket. And
fit in your pocket?
That's good info.
It's very small. It's very small.
It's at least, 8x11, right?
You have to fold it out.
I was
out,
sort of exaggerating.
Oh,
right. The concept.
Hey,
of...
by the way, I didn't say hi to everybody in the chat room. One of them says, Injulin says BenQ. BenQ or Bank is a good brand. So someone else stands behind your purchase.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well,
thank you, person of the name that Scott did not get.
Yeah, if they say it in the chat rooms, it's got to be true.
It's gold. It's gold, Jerry, gold. And I forgot to totally mention them. Thanks, everybody who joined us for the live. I wouldn't call this a broadcast. This is just kind of a chat room thing we do. If people want to hang with us while we produce the show. And lots of faces like Brad, Alter Ego. I'm told even the other guy is in there. Charles is in there. Crockpot. Someone named Dude. Bill Gates was here for a while.
Dude.
Silverback.
The dude.
Oi, it's Silverback. What? Who?
Did he just say Bill Gates was there?
Yeah, he was in there telling everyone he was going to give him free Windows and stuff. Kind of cracked me up. Anyway. And they all said, we already pirate our Windows copies of Windows. And Hungry Joe saying poo over and over.
Then he said, oh, then you can't have Vista.
Good times. Anyway, so thanks for being with us, folks. Now, one last thing before we get to the topic, and that is this. Extra Life Radio now has its own wiki. Posted this on the blog
earlier.
This morning, was it? Whenever it was. I've lost track of time. And it's a place where the fans can go and define such things as Pepe Del Fuego, Dean Cain's references on the show, how are the graphics came from, all the little weird little things we do, including regular show
notes.
You
know what wiki says to me?
What?
Do you know what wiki says to me? Wiki says... I'm too lazy to actually do anything, and
I'm letting other people do it for me.
I want other people to do it for me. Yeah,
you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head.
Well, isn't there a very big webcomic that's very popular that instead of having a cast section, it has a wiki?
No, who's that? Who does that?
That's good.
Oh, I'm not going to go any further.
No, you have to say. Is it Scott Kurtz? Is he the one? No, he has a cast. Hello?
I thought, the last time I checked, he had a wiki.
Oh.
Really?
I thought he had a... I saw a cast
is that
page
part of
there.
Is that part of his new website thingy?
Oh, maybe it was part of the old obsolete website.
Yeah, it was probably because it was obsolete. It was a single scanner. So anyway, back to this. So if you guys want to contribute, you can either get a link on the Extra Life Radio page on myextralife.com, or you can go straight to extraliferadio.com. That'll get you there. Or... just go to extralife.wiki.com and sign up and have fun and knock yourselves out. All right. Let's move on to our segment. I'm actually going to call this the How Were the Graphics segment. And I know that seems a little odd.
Why?
But you'll see in a minute. Oh, even you ask it. Even Obsidian wants to know why.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
Okay, the reason it's for these. The reason we're doing this for the How Are the Graphics segment, brought to you by Michael, because this watch he gave me is still
working.
Because
we don't have anything for the How Are the Graphics segment.
No, we actually do.
We do?
We're going to talk about role-playing games today, and not just role-playing games for PCs or just for consoles, but kind of role-playing games generally, but mostly in the world of video games, how they stack up today, things that we change, things that we like, ideas we might have for settings, and we even have some feedback from some of the listeners who posted their thoughts, and we'll share those as well. The reason it falls under How Are the Graphics is because I think this is a perfect example of walk up to a friend, say, oh, I just got Oblivion. Oh, really? How are the graphics? It's like that. So that's the reason I used it. I know it's weak.
So you
what are you going to do?
You barely got any sleep last night thinking about
it. I didn't,
that.
Dude. I haven't had good sleep for the last 6.5 days. And my poor wife up hacking all over her all night.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
Dude.
Yeah, she wants to die.
Is that married life? I mean, is that what married life is like?
Welcome to married life. In fact, since we're at the halfway point, we're actually gonna take a break. Then we're gonna talk about the topic. So when we come back, we'll talk all about RPGs and even listen to a few things you had to say. So we'll be right back, and just in time for Rico's reviews.
Hello, Extra Life Radio. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast, and this is another edition of Rico's Reviews. This week I'm going to talk about two Western/sci-fi television series that I've enjoyed over the years. The first one is from way back in the 1960s, and it is called The Wild Wild West. This starred Robert Conrad as Agent Jim West and Ross Martin as Agent Artemis Gordon, yes. This show was basically a Western James Bond series. Had lots of cool gadgets, girls, evil mad geniuses for them to fight and work against. It was a great show. The first season is out now on DVD. I highly, highly recommend it. A lot of cool stunts, cool gadgets. And these guys lived on a train car, so you don't get much cooler than that. The other series I wanted to mention real briefly is a little bit more recent. It was in the 1990s. It only lasted 1 year. And it was called The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. This had a lot of similarities to The Wild Wild West. It had some cool gadgets, some sci-fi elements, and a very cool main character played by Bruce Campbell, who played Briscoe County Jr. This show, unfortunately, only lasted on the Fox Network for a season, but it is also now all out on DVD, and I highly recommend this show as well. So there you have The Wild Wild West and Briscoe County Jr., very good TV. Go check them out on DVD. This is Rico signing off for this week.
Fascinating.
No, I'm not a real proctologist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
And we're back. Thanks, Rico. Always good to hear from you. Let's jump right back in. So sorry about that. That was kind of weird. Where were we? What were we doing? It's the NyQuil, dude.
We were making a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're making a podcast.
How were the graphics?
Welcome to the really, podcast. What?
Really poopy games.
Oh, yeah, poopy games. No. We don't want to talk about it. Well, I mean, we can talk about some of the games we hate. But
well, we can talk about poopy games if we want.
Now, I'm not an old school, like tabletop RPG player. I played D&D off and on with some friends, but I was never like super uber into it. And we have someone here who is. And that is Obsidian.
Who's that?
You Dingleberry. So my question for you would be this. How do today's RPGs, either console, Japanese style, the MMOs, all that kind of stuff, how does any of that stack up, in your opinion, to your experience in the world of tabletop RPGs?
And why is there a phone ringing?
there's not a phone.
Not ringing. I'm hearing like a dial tone.
Oh. Really?
Okay, right. Wait. Never mind.
Okay, help me a little bit with that question. How do the tabletop role-playing games stack up against what?
Well, no, I'm saying how do the video games stack up to their their
video games.
Yeah, the history of RPGs, because like, yes. The video games owe their souls. I mean, I heard some famous, who's the guy that made Deus Ex? It's what's his name? Chat people know.
Chat people.
Thank you very much, Raza.
You are my crutch.
Raza. It is not Boobs McGee. Someone said Boobs McGee. That's funny.
I love that name.
I could say Boobs McGee over and over and have no problem with that. But it wasn't Peter Molyneux and it wasn't Boobs McGee. But it
they
was.
They wouldn't let that kid listen to the show anymore.
I know. Anyway, it
that's just PG-13.
Yeah, we're all right still.
Boobs.
We got an F-bomb twice before we're in trouble.
Yeah, we can say boobs. Can we say vagina?
We can the way you just did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Vagina. I can even say it that way. What was I doing? Oh, yeah. So Warren Spector, I heard him interviewed the other day, and Warren Spector said the following. He said that everybody who creates video games today, any kind of role-playing game, fantasy game, or adventure game, owes it to themselves to drop to their knees, face east, and say a prayer of thanks to the gods of Dungeons & Dragons. In other words, what a huge inspiration D&D was to all these people. And so, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I mean, we're here.
Waiting for you to finish your thought.
Yeah.
Sorry, or I got cough. A lung hanging out. So, Obsidian, the question again. How did the video games based on D&D or games that were inspired by D&D, how do they stack up to the progeny? Is that a word?
Well,
how do they stack up to the legacy of Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, the legacy. I like that word. Yeah. Legacy.
Yes.
Okay. Now, because I like legs.
Legs.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, legs.
You're channeling Andrew's ghost, I could tell. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, well, I'll tell it to you this way, Scott. Basically, they're just, I mean, you just can't compare it. Not because one is much better than the other, but basically because they're such different. I mean, they're two activities that are totally different. First of all, unfortunately, with the technology we have today, there has not been a game made that would be so open-ended as a tabletop role-playing game is.
I agree.
Because in a tabletop role-playing game, you can literally do anything. And in a video game, well, you can't do anything. You can do a lot.
Okay.
Limited.
Not anything.
So
limited.
You don't even think like Neverwinter Nights is a good example of that succeeding?
No, because, I mean, you can't do anything. I mean, I'm talking about anything. Literally anything. You're in a tabletop role-playing game, and you can just do anything you want, and you're only limited to your imagination. And this, I mean, this is not an exaggeration. That's actually the only limit, your imagination.
Yeah.
In a video game, as open-ended as it may be it Neverwinter Nights, Oblivion, anything, there are limitations that are, you know, the program's limitations.
So you mean like they've already got a pre-designed, of say, art direction, and no matter how hard you pretend that it doesn't look the way it does, it still looks the way it does. So if you don't like the way the armor looks, you can't sit there and pretend. I mean, is that kind of what you're saying? That you have a limited number of assets given to you, whereas...
No. But you're thinking about, I mean, you're thinking about maybe the way it looks. Okay, who cares about the way it looks? I'm talking about, okay, say you just want to, I mean, you go into a bar, and you got this bunch of options and everything, but what happens if what you want is to get drunk and dance around and try and hit on the barmaid and stuff like that? Well, you're in a game, you're not going to be able to do that. And let's say that you can do it, then you can just think of something else that you might not be able to do in that game.
Yeah.
The thing is, a tabletop role-playing game is truly limitless, and video games will always have the limitations. I mean, they may be very open-ended, but you're still limited to whatever is programmed into the game.
Yeah, so, okay, that makes sense, but isn't it true in D&D or other tabletop games? And again, I'm novice at that, so I don't know. So that's why I asked the question.
Just
ask. But aren't you limited by certain character attributes and certain racial attributes and things that you can't exceed in that area too? Aren't you limited to what the game gives you?
No, not at all.
There?
I mean, you're limited. Okay, let's say, for example, you're playing in a tabletop role-playing game and your character comes to a cliff. Right, and you stand at the top of the cliff, and you say, well, I jumped down. And, well, what's going to happen is you're going to die. Yeah, right. You're just going to die. That's what's going to happen. Now, at no moment there's going to be a limit in the game, like in some games, that you know you get to a cliff and your character just can't jump. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Your character can't go on from a certain point or something. I mean, you have limitations, but there are limitations that you, yourself, assign in your own imagination. Like, okay, your character has limited strength, of course, but that's because that's the way you made the character.
Okay.
And you can actually try to, I mean, like, for example, in a video game, you come up to a door, right? And you try to force it open, and your character has limited strength, and he therefore cannot open the door. In the video game, there's no way you're going to open that door. But in a tabletop role-playing game, you can look for alternatives to opening that door. You can try and bust it open. You can try and go get somebody to open it for you. I mean, you can do a bunch of stuff. It's just like that.
The thing that is missing from video games versus the tabletop is the Dungeon Master. The Dungeon Master can allow just about anything to happen, whereas in a video game, it has to be predefined.
Yeah.
I mean, a tabletop role-playing game is just limited by your imagination, the Dungeon Master's imagination.
Okay, let's say you're the Dungeon Master, and I'm the player. And I've been some kind of ranger or whatever I've been, okay? And all of a sudden, do I have the ability to go, you know, my imagination has just given me a little bit of an itch here, and I think I want to make, my character's name is now Breasty McBoobyfest, and I can shoot lasers out of my nipples. Can I just do that?
Look at it this way.
Oh, that orc is too strong for you. No, he's not. I have lasers coming out of my nipples. I mean, how do you curb that?
Well, that's actually a very good question. I've had actually that. Well, not with
not this specifically. Yeah. Oh, okay.
The laser nipples is a very common question.
Yeah. I mean, I've had questions like that. Asked before.
Yeah.
Not only with nipples or anything. But no, like for example, first of all, there's something you have to keep in mind, and it's that a requirement for a game to be a game is that there has to be rules. If there are no rules, a game is not a game. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. It's in the whole, I mean, whoever knows anything about education and all that kind of stuff, they probably know more about this than I do. But a game requires rules for it to actually be a game. So, like, for example, when you're playing a tabletop role-playing game, you can actually go up to your other, I mean, first of all, keep in mind that when you play a tabletop role-playing game, you are simulating that you are somebody else. In your imagination, of course, but then you can go to your group, to your role-playing group, to your party, to your group of adventurers, and you can tell them, hey, you know what?
You're nerd.
Today I'm going to change my name to Busty McNipples.
Okay. Busty McNipples?
Wasn't it Busty McNipples?
No, it's even better than mine. Let's go with Busty McNipples. What was yours? I like that. Mine was Breasty McBoobyfest. But I liked yours better.
Oh, okay. Busty McNipples. Okay.
Yeah, I like Busty McNipples.
So you can go up to them and go like, hey, today I'm going to change my name to Busty McNipples. And they're all going to look at you and they're actually going to give you a response to that. Like they're actually maybe going to make fun of you, or they're going to go, oh, yeah, sure, we're going to call you Busty McNipples from now on. Or they're going to just say like, yeah, you're crazy. We're not going to call you that. And that's the thing. I mean, you're going to do it and the results are going to be, you know, the rest of the world that you have created in your imagination is going to respond to it. Whereas if you're in a video game, like, for example, if I'm playing Oblivion and I create a character and I name him Busty McNipples, everybody in the game is going to call me Busty McNipples, and nobody's going to say anything, and nobody's going to think it's odd.
Yeah.
I mean, I once read that very annoying people in some video, in some massive multiplayer online games and stuff like that would call themselves stuff like Master, so that everybody in the game would call them Master. It's a stupid thing, but that's the thing. In a video game, you can do that sometimes.
Yeah.
And the game is not going to respond adequately, whereas in a tabletop role-playing game, you can do it, and they're probably going to make fun of you, or nobody's going to call you that, but you did it.
Yeah.
No, just because you did it doesn't mean... And you can tell people. You can go up to an orc, and you can say, hey, I'm going to have lasers fire out of my nipples, and the orc's probably just going to kill you.
Well, see, that's my question.
The reason you can't fire them from your nipples is because there's rules to the game that you agreed
to. Laser bird.
Yeah, nipples have a very set attribute.
Now, of course, you can add.
Yeah.
You can add laser nipples to the game if you want to, but then the whole group would have to agree to that rule, blah, blah, blah. It can be done, though.
Okay, well, then that's my question. But if you
nipples fell, votes 3-2. Moshe not carry.
But wait, if you're okay, whether or not you're a dungeon master, fine. If you're not one, fine. But if something comes up in a game where somebody suddenly claims, or you know, that orc beat you. Well, no, he didn't. Why? Well, because my axe. I had another axe in my pants. No one knew about it. I mean, that to me, it just seems like there's a lot of reason why. Whereas in a real game, you can't run in World of Warcraft. You can't run up to a mob and go, aha, fear, you know, fear my fierce, my feisty nipples that shoot lasers. The thing's still going to kill me if it's a higher level than me. Well, in the tabletop thing, why couldn't somebody just be stubborn and not take whatever the dungeon master says?
Well, that's a good point. First, you have to remember one song that I like. First you got to remember one song that I like very much that is called "The World Is Filled with Stupid People." And well, I mean, I'll bet that in World of Warcraft that you've been playing so much for the last lifetime.
Since November.
Of course you
November
meet
of
stupid people too, people that are not fun to play with.
Yeah.
I'll bet you've met them.
Oh, of course.
I bet you meet them all the time.
Absolutely you do. You bet you do.
I don't know. I don't really know how you're going to be annoying in World of Warcraft, but I suppose it can be done.
Oh, yeah.
It can be very
It's the same.
Annoying.
I mean, like, every single Sunday, my friends come here to my house so we can have our role-playing game session.
Yeah,
and,
but how do you ignore or you know, how do you get that guy out of your hair? You can't, like, if the guy in the game, in World of Warcraft, if I'm not into some guy standing in front of me who's spamming me, I just ignore him. I can walk away. He can't physically do anything to me. But in the other room, he can tip my, he can knock my Mountain Dew over and get all my little pieces I painted wet. I mean, all that kind of stuff can happen, right?
Well, yes, that's true. But that's actually, I would say that that is much less real than what we've got here.
It
because,
yeah.
I mean, I get my three friends that come to my house, and they're my three friends, so I know I'm going to have a good time playing with them, and I know that they're going to play it right. If for any reason there's somebody annoying in the game, why the hell did I invite him to my house in the first place?
Yeah, good point. Good point. I'm just saying if they turned on you, you know, like suddenly they had an aneurysm.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, you've got rules that everybody agrees to, and that's just the way a game works. Now, the thing is, for example, like in real life, you can come up to a guy and say, you know what, I've got an extra gun here in my pants, and I'm going to shoot you with it. And if you don't actually have the gun in your pants, well, then you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
I mean,
that.
You can try and do it. I mean, the possibility's there. It's just not going to work. And it's the same way for you know, tabletop role-playing games. You can try anything you want. That doesn't mean it's going to work.
No, that's a good point. Well, we had a reader by the name of, and I can't find it.
A reader?
Busty McNipples.
Oh, where did it go?
We have a reader?
Tom. Tom says, how about a sci-fi RPG that isn't Star Wars? So, Obsidian, you play that Shadowrun.
Well, there's Anarchy, run. Shadowrun is not Shadowrun. Sci-fi.
What is it, though?
Shadowrun is cyberpunk.
Oh, what's the damn difference?
Yeah.
No, there is a difference, trust me.
Well, they use, like, laser swords and...
That doesn't make it... Well, no, okay, now there... We'd get into an argument that really would be way off topic. Because we'd be arguing what is the definition of sci-fi and what
Let's
is
do
the
it.
Definition of... The,
Let's yeah, do it! Yeah.
You know
Let's
what, go. Though? Hold
Let's
on, you know what,
it.
Though?
It's a two-hour show discussing
science
the definition
fiction
of sci-fi.
Science fiction is stories based upon or around technology that is actually beyond what we have today, probably.
Yeah. That sounds like...
Develop with science.
Way to go, Webster's. Merriam Dictionary over there.
Yeah.
No,
Well, then I guess what I would say is that cyberpunk is...
Does cyberpunk have, like, enchanted...
No. Cyberpunk, I would say, it comes from sci-fi.
Yeah.
But sci-fi is not necessarily cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah,
when
true.
You're going to classify a game like Shadowrun...
Can you define cyberpunk? Punk for me? Just can you say it?
Here's my definition.
Like, is it like virtual? Is like a virtual world, like a
No. You know what? You know how I would define cyberpunk? I would say that cyberpunk is not defined by the technology it uses, but it is defined by the view it expresses of the future. Cyberpunk normally is defined by the relationship between man and technology.
And how many emo people are walking around with mascara on their eyes. Seriously, that's the truth. It's all about attitude with cyberpunk, and I would say that cyberpunk is...
Yeah, I mean,
it's
all about the relationship between man and technology.
Yeah.
It can be, I mean, it can even be a very, it can be a story set today, but it's still about the relationship between man and technology and the whole.
So would you consider like Aeon Flux? Is that more of a sci-fi?
That's
or
totally
more of
cyberpunk,
a
I would say. Wouldn't you?
I'd have a hard time defining it. I wouldn't like complain if somebody said Aeon Flux was cyberpunk.
The cartoon, anyway.
I wouldn't go as far as saying that it is cyberpunk, but I wouldn't complain if somebody defined it that way.
Okay, what if I said, what's the Harrison Ford movie? The
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. What would you call
Indiana
that?
Indiana Jones.
No, yeah, Indiana Jones is very cyberpunk.
Actually,
I would say it's cyberpunk-ish.
Actually, Blade Runner is pretty much the granddaddy of cinematic cyberpunk in a way. I mean, okay. I wouldn't dare to say that it is the first cyberpunk movie because I know somebody would just call me out and say, and you know, mention a movie that's older than it and is cyberpunk. But Blade Runner, if you look at Blade Runner, it's very interesting because pretty much all the cyberpunk graphic style comes from Blade Runner.
I get it.
If you look at it carefully, almost all the cyberpunk style comes from Blade
Runner. What about The Fifth Element versus Stargate?
Oh, Stargate's definitely...
Well, I think Stargate
definitely sci-fi.
I would say so, yes.
The Fifth Element,
it kind of like... It rides that same rail as Stargate, but I think it's a little more cyberpunk.
Yeah, speaking of nipples, I'm telling you, dude.
Well, you see, what happens with The Fifth Element is that The Fifth Element is pretty hard to define. Basically, when you look at The Fifth Element carefully, it comes from a European school brand science fiction, which was basically started out by, in my
Doctor
opinion,
who?
One of the best illustrations that has ever illustrators that has ever lived.
Mobius.
Which is Mobius.
Yeah.
Well, there's a very big influence for Mobius there.
Yeah.
And it's a very different brand of science fiction. European science fiction is very different from American science fiction. And if you look at it, The Fifth Element is very, in a way, although it has a lot of technology crushing mankind, it is, in a way, very optimistic and very playful.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different attitude. It's the whole European attitude towards sci-fi.
Yeah. No, I get that. And it was a French director anyway, and so who knows what the hell's wrong with that guy. But there's...
Oh, yeah, of course. Luc Besson.
Now, Ross Scott? Anyway, can't say his name right. He wrote and said...
Ross Scott.
He says, now that I think about it... Dude, don't make me laugh. I'll go in a coffin fit.
Jeez.
Now
Ross Scott?
No.
Oh man! Oh god!
Oh, you're killing
there
me.
You go.
Says now
I
that
I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, I'm going to hurl Roscat. Now that I think about it, the line between RPGs and other types are pretty slim. I mean, how much plot does there have to be? How much do characters have to advance? What has to happen to make Resident Evil 4 not an RPG or Dead Rising?
I know.
Or Halo,
the
or any
sort
of that kind of stuff.
Old school definition of a video role playing game.
Okay. Go ahead.
Although I am taking a very big risk here, and I will say before I say any of this that I have not played or even been near Resident Evil 4.
Oh, again, rules.
When I finally get the Wii, thank you, Mr. Harrington, for that, I will probably get Resident Evil 4 to play it on it.
Absolutely. That game rules.
But I do have a Wii of my own, I will clarify. It just doesn't play video games on it.
No. It has limited functionality,
anyway,
is my guess.
That joke is old.
Well,
what really defines a video game role-playing game is character advancement. It's that, for example, okay, Scott and I, we both played Oblivion, but due to the way we built our characters and the way we made our characters advance during the game, we both played very different games.
Yeah, that's true.
Character advancement is what basically defines a video role-playing game.
What do you think about that? Do you think Oblivion succeeded maybe more than any other in that way, in the whole advancement category?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so? What do you think is a better example of that?
Better example of character advancement. Ooh, that's a tough
one. In a video game. Yeah.
People in the chat room.
People in the chat room, we call on you to save us from this stupid question.
The crutch.
System Shock 2, Final Fantasy 7, Baldur's Gate. They're naming out some stuff. Final Fantasy Tactics. I wouldn't Was that really a role-playing
game?
Well,
no. For example, I would never use Final... Well, I don't know Final Fantasy Tactics, which might surprise people since I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan, but Final Fantasy is not a good example because Final Fantasy is all about the story. I mean, when you fall in love with Final Fantasy, you fall in love with the story, with the character, but when you play Final Fantasy VIII, for example, which is my favorite, you basically got the same character for everybody. I mean, you might make some different choices or anything, but everybody that played Final Fantasy VIII played some emo kid that maybe you changed the name, right? But he was some emo kid, very, you know, very quiet, and everybody had that game.
Yeah.
It was the story what it was all about.
Yeah.
Now,
too many dudes that look like chicks in those games. Just my opinion. Too many dudes that look like chicks. Just want to throw that out there.
Oh, okay. Now, System Shock, on the other hand, I would not consider System Shock a role-playing game. More than I would consider it an action game with role-playing game influence.
Yeah.
I mean, you can modify your character or anything, but basically you follow the same story and the same things are supposed to happen.
Hey, by the way, you know more about this stuff. You know more about this stuff than a lot of people, and not to go back to the Final Fantasy thing too much. But why are the swords so damn big? Can you explain that to me? Like, what are they thinking there? Is it a fetish or something, or what's the deal over there with that?
Well, I'm pretty sure there's many psychological explanations for it, but
if you wanna
like cut all the crap,
yeah,
and you wanna like just not talk about it a lot, the real reason is it just looks cool.
Is that really the main reason?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of reasons. And a lot of people, maybe a lot of people in the chat room, or a lot of people are going to call me out and say, oh, you know, there's this psychological explanation and that. And, you know, it all comes from this and that and everything. But in the end, I mean, or maybe what it's used now or anything, it just looks cool.
In the end, I'll tell you, I've said it before, I'll say it again.
It looks powerful. I mean, you got a sword that's about three times your size, and hey, you look damn powerful.
I know. I've said it before, and I will say it again. When your country takes a nuke right in the beak, you do some weird stuff for decades to come. That's all.
Dude, look how big that sword looks.
That thing's awesome. It's bigger than the car he drives. Not as sharp as his hair, though. What? Hello?
But going back to your question, which was actually a very good one, for example, Oblivion is a good example of open-ended character advancement. Yes, that is true. But in my opinion, Oblivion was not as open-ended as people make it out to be.
Really?
In Oblivion, there was just many moments when you just like goof around, and that was it.
Yeah. There was a bit of
eventually,
that. Eventually, yes.
I mean, if you stopped doing what the story was about, you would just wander around the world, get into a bunch of side quests and stuff. Eventually, if you wanted something to happen, you'd have to go back to the main quest.
Yeah.
Now, a good example of character advancement, although, again, nothing is going to be as open-ended as a tabletop role-playing game, would be, for example, Fable.
Yeah.
And Fable, you had two options. You could either be good or you could be bad. And that was it. But that the simplicity of those options made the whole game very different, depending on how you played it. A very good example of that would be Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention earlier. That's what I was thinking.
That is a great role-playing game, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, Zach says this. I'm very passionate about RPG games. Because basically that's what turned him on to gaming in the first place. I believe a good RPG has to be simple with absolutely amazing storyline. Generally, I would not play a game where it is so detailed that you don't let your character go to the bathroom at a certain time or he will die some horrible colon infection. He goes on.
I love The Sims.
Yeah, I like The Sims too. But here's the thing. One of my biggest complaints about RPGs, Japanese RPGs, console stuff, the Final Fantasy range of games, is that random encounter crap. What is happening there, dude? I hate it.
Well, random encounters are actually... I don't know if they come from the tabletop role-playing games, but you know, the first appearance of random encounters I've ever seen is from role-playing games. It's basically this. When you've got a game where you get, you know, several cities and stuff like that, there comes time when your character is going to want to travel from one part to another. Now, thing is, you don't want to have to role-play the whole traveling thing, basically because it's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to like sit there for 6 hours and talk about how you're traveling from one place to another.
Teleporters, so man. Come on, teleporters. Let's just do it the easy
way.
So
what you do basically is you you shorten the whole thing by, you know, okay, so you go from one place to another and that's it. You travel. Now, that would make it a little bit too easy. You know, okay, so I'm going to go from New York to Miami and then I'm going to go to L.A. So what they do is they add these random encounters along the way to represent that, you know, your characters all along that road ran into trouble and had a bunch of stuff happen to them and all that kind of stuff. Personally, in my role-playing games as a Dungeon Master, I do not use random encounters because I think that they are... Well, I think it's a very... is uncreative a word? I think it's a very uncreative way of solving that whole problem of how do characters travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree.
Random characters.
I agree.
If you want a good example of a role-playing game that still has a sort of encounters along the way but doesn't use random encounters per se, I would recommend Chrono Trigger from the Super Nintendo, which in my opinion is one of the best role-playing games.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback saying that was one of the best ones. But, you know, my problem with it is okay, I just had a big fight, and my stats are down, and I lost some stuff, and one of my party members is dead as hell, and I'm just, oh, crap. And then now I got to creep around the forest hoping I don't bump into some random computerized freaking encounter that doesn't mean anything to me. That drives me insane.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, in the world that they're giving you, okay, let's say we're a bunch of adventurers, and we went and we fought the Andrew Dragon.
Okay.
And we killed it. And you, I mean, Andrew took his big dragon tail and he shoved it up your butt. Yeah. So you're really, really in bad shape.
Yeah.
And Brian and me, and I, we have to go look for help. But the world we're in is very dangerous.
Help me get the serrated dragon tail out of my butt.
It makes sense.
We got to go find the blue flower.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
It makes sense that we're not just going to grab you and be able to run to get help and nothing's going to happen to us along the way. Look at it this way. Look at the Lord of the Rings, right? They went to Mordor. We got 3 whole movies. We got, what, like 12 hours of it? Of course, I would look at the books first, but we got like 3 whole books where they go to Mordor and they run into a bunch of trouble going to Mordor. And you got to wonder, okay, did nothing happen to these people on the way back?
Yeah.
Good point.
I mean,
the world was peachy on the way back.
Yeah, I mean, and it's true. I mean, a lot of stuff did actually happen to them on the way back.
Ooh.
But that's not the point. I mean, the whole thing is, okay, so you went, you got rid of the ring, and so what? You just, like, you know, rollerbladed all the way back to the Shire?
they got random encounters
along the way.
They make rollerblades for... They have rollerblades for it, but they're not random in the sense that...
Oh, yeah, sure. Everybody knows that Tolkien invented
them. Well, of course. They were a little hairy, but the point is that I don't even think in it... I mean, think about that. Okay, yeah, there's a big chunks of time on their way back. They weren't random, though. It wasn't like, neener, neener, knee, oh, poof, out of nowhere, we're fighting somebody. It was like, oh, there's something up ahead. Should we attack it? Should we try to get around it? I like games that let me choose and, like, you know, pick my battles.
That's why Chrono Trigger was so good. When you were walking around, you would see the monsters and you could avoid them.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. What does Chrono's Trigger stand for? What's the point? What's the name mean? Anything?
You do know what Chrono is, right?
Sure. So, I've got some right here, in fact.
Timepiece?
It's a... No,
well, basically, it was Chrono Trigger was the name of a time machine in the game.
Okay.
So, you do the math. I mean, it triggers time.
Whoa. Nice. That's math I'm not familiar
the whole
with.
Game, and the whole game, you're basically traveling between different time periods.
Okay.
Very cool.
It sounds
Very
like
cool.
a good time to me.
I never played it.
It is one of the best games I've really ever good. Played in my life. And still, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a kind of gamer that gives a lot of importance to how the game looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want all my games to look awesome. But Chrono Trigger is a game that I still play a lot. And besides, it has great design. It was designed by Akira Toriyama. Do you know who Akira Toriyama was?
Yeah, he's the guy that did that. You got your Metal Gear guy, right? Isn't that him?
Or no, that's Hideo Kojima.
What the hell did you say?
It all sounds the same to me.
I thought that's
Akira
what you said.
Akira Toriyama is the guy from Dragon Balls.
Hirojima.
Oh, Dragon Balls. All right, well, good for him and his Dragon Balls. Fiery hot Dragon Balls.
I know it's Dragon Ball, but when you get Dragon Ball Z,
yeah,
it's basically added up to Dragon Balls.
That's a good point. With the Z, I think. Get it. Yes, Brian. Yes,
the future of RPG is about to hit. I think when Spore comes out, not only is it going to be a phenomenal game, I think it's going to also
not a role-playing game.
No, but it has the elements that could inject into future games that could allow us to do so much more with RPG games, so it would be so much more open-ended.
Yeah, he's going to introduce concepts and mechanics that RPG developers
allow you to create characters
beyond,
you know, like you can create a character that have four arms or have six arms you could do so much more with your characters, and as a consequence, that technology they're trying to write could also affect how the worlds are created in the game. So, I mean, the whole engine is going to spawn something just amazing, I think.
I agree with
that. I think that when we talk about the future of video role-playing games,
yes,
we'd have to consider two things.
Yes.
And, okay, now the first thing is, if we want them to each
one
and every time be more similar to tabletop role-playing games, then I think that the next step would be the absolute customization that tabletop role-playing games have.
Well, that's what I'm
talking about. If you've ever been a tabletop role-playing gamer for more than a few sessions, like you carry your character up to level 15 or something, and you take a look at the character, you'll see that he has the boots that he got here, the gloves that he got there, and of course that happens in many games. Like if you look at Dungeon Siege, at the end you have like this sort of medieval fashion vomit on your character. But in role-playing games, in tabletop role-playing games, when you get up to certain levels, the character sort of reflects the way you've played and the way you feel about the game, and it reflects your personality very well. Now, I think that if video role-playing games manage to sort of get to the level of customization where it's a very personal reflection upon, you know, of me, my character, not just that I took the stuff that was available in the game and stuff like that.
Right.
That would be the next step. But personally, I don't think it should go that next step. I think that video role-playing games should say, okay, you know, we come from tabletop role-playing games, good for us, but now, you know, we go our own way. And I think that there's many things that video role-playing games should fix. One of the things I think that they should fix is that I have yet to find the video role-playing game with what I would call an awesome fighting system.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it always feels repetitive.
I've come across fighting systems that I can live with, but I have never come across a fighting system that I would say, "Damn it, I just had a great fight."
Mass Effect. That's supposed to have a really good. Oh, even in the chat room, they're talking about it. Mass Effect for the 360, coming from BioWare, is supposed to have really, really cool combat system, which I'm pretty excited. So that should be awesome. You make fine
because
points
look
all
for
around.
For example, at Oblivion. I mean, in Oblivion, each and every single time I come across something I have to fight, I just groan because fighting in Oblivion is a pain.
I'm not really a big fan. It's a lot better than it was in the one before, Morrowind. I hated it in there. But it's passable in Oblivion, but it's still not what I want it to be. It's just a little stupid. Let's put it that way.
And for example, I'm a big fan of the Final Fantasy games, and I enjoy turn-based combat a lot. I mean, I like it. I love it.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it because it's my personal taste. I am aware that it is not the best way to fight in a game.
Yeah.
I just like it.
I'm okay with turn-based.
It's cool.
I like turn-based. That's good.
Hated it.
I got no problems with that. All right, we got to jump out of this topic and onto a crappy movie of the week because we are burning the time. But a good topic. If you guys have any feedback, you can always let us know. Send us an email at myextralife@gmail.com. Let's do this.
We're very serious today. We need a fart joke.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
All right. Obsidian was just saying that we need to have a good fart joke or something because we're just so darn serious
today. Yeah, we were way too serious today, but if you look at today's Crappy Movie of the Week, the whole seriousness of the podcast is ruined.
Yeah, it all goes away.
The movie is, Scott?
The movie is Wild, Wild Planet. And here is the short
wild, wild
the short sweetness of it. A deranged scientist, boy, we've never seen that before, A deranged scientist is using his employer's top secret biolaboratory to engage in clandestine eugenics experiments.
I need a biolaboratory.
Experiments. Yes, I would.
I need clandestine.
I need to use the biolaboratory when we're done here. When he starts kidnapping leading citizens for use in his twisted tests, it's up to rogue cop Mike Hastlead. Wait. Halstead, excuse me. Rogue cop Mike Halstead to come to the rescue of all of the sundry, including the lady, his lady friend Connie, who's also being held captive by the madman. Connie. Yeah, Connie needs to be freed as well.
Who's being held, what, by Batman?
No, not freaking this- Batman. Oh, you made me laugh and I had to cough. The madman, it says. Same madman. Okay. Same deranged scientist. Well, that sounded terrible.
But, you know, what is it with movies and rogue cops?
I don't know. Well, it's always a rogue cop.
They go together, right? Yeah, you got to have...
why is it never like the cop that just does his job?
I don't know.
I like that. As Cellular, that's how Macy played. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah.
William H. Cellular?
Macy? Yeah, Cellular. William H. Macy, he played the straight cop.
Yep, he did.
He wasn't a rogue cop.
Jason.
That's one of my favorite characters.
Jason Statham was in that. I love that guy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Bad guy in it. That was actually an okay movie.
It's actually a really good movie.
It was good except for the blonde chick, the one that played...
what's her name?
The one that was married to the Baldwin guy.
Kim Basinger. Basinger.
I like the part where she stabbed the guy and apologized for, you know.
Yeah. She acted...
Gave him a science lesson.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
For a lady who's got an Academy Award and has a decent body of work out there, she was terrible in that, I thought.
Yeah,
she was paying the bills, baby.
You know, when I saw the trailer, you know, actually, I have a grunge with that movie, and it's that I saw the trailer.
Grunge?
You have a grunge? You got a Nirvana with that movie?
Yeah, you meant a grudge.
Grudge. Oh, that's so funny.
Ha ha! Make fun of the Colombian. Ha ha! Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead,
continue.
There.
See?
It's that when I saw the trailer, the movie seemed very serious.
Yeah.
And the movie is actually very lighthearted.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that I mind that it was lighthearted, but I do mind when a trailer offers me a movie that is not the movie.
I could talk about, you know, we could do a whole episode on trailers versus movies.
Oh, we should, dude. We should do that sometime.
That angers me.
By the way.
Oh, that's actually a good topic.
Wasn't the guy...
The Village.
Well, oh, yeah, The Village.
Oh, The Village. Let's not even
now, hold on a minute. What was the guy? Was the guy, the main guy in the cell phone thing, was he the dude in the first Fast and Furious movies? First two?
No.
Not him. Okay.
No.
For some reason.
Crappy. Idiot.
Yeah,
crappy movie of the
week.
What's
wrong with me? Okay, crappy movie of the week. Sorry.
Where are we going to do that?
Wild, Wild Planet. Here is clip number one. It deals with girls.
Mike, I think I've uncovered something.
Oh, what?
Girls.
Shame on you.
No, I'm serious. Look.
Oh, I'm serious.
The reason we had to be so serious is every time I laugh, I cough. I hate it, dude.
Yeah.
Here's a clip about hunks of meat. This is my favorite clip.
Hunks of meat.
All you have to say is hunks of meat, and the crowd listens. So listen
hunks
to this.
Of meat.
This is a good one.
I like the human race the way it is. I'm a person, not a collection of hunks of meat.
I love that, dude.
A collection of hunks of meat.
That's terrible writing. I mean, who comes up with stuff like that? They're sitting around going, you know what would be a great line? What? A collection of hunks of meat. That just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, that's terrible. Here's one I can't remember, so I'm just play it.
Why, you helium-headed idiot, you. You and your stupid rules, regulations, and protocol.
I don't know why I like that one. That was funny.
I do. Hey, rookie, what do you pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto. Oh, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Such great stuff. Did you ever see that movie that was based on it?
The live action?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch it. I couldn't do it.
No, I can't pollute myself with it. I just can't do it.
No.
There's probably some fans. Probably here in the chat room are all pissed. That movie was awesome.
Yeah, movie rocked.
Howard the Duck, too.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the chat room talks like that.
It's true.
It rocked.
Here is a clip about being part or being of one flesh, I guess. It's kind of, it's not really nasty, but anyway, here it is.
Soon she will be ready for the great moment when she and I will become one person and my flesh will absorb hers and we will be fused into one person.
You love that, dude.
My flesh would be absorbed.
You can almost see the guy that he's talking to, you know, when he says one person several times, you can almost see the guy saying, like, Yeah, you already said that.
I know, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, is she talking about marriage?
And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. It's in the script this way. I mean, seriously, writing is terrible. You know, I mean, anyway, I don't have a problem.
It would be a crappy movie if it wasn't.
I don't have a problem with a movie with a deranged madman. Bring it on, dude. But don't have dialogue like that. It's freaking terrible. But yeah, it wouldn't be a crappy movie of the week without it.
I do have a problem with a movie that is called Wild Wild Planet and is not porn.
Yeah.
Wild. You're thinking of Wild Wild Penis or something.
No, no, no. I mean, it's what's been sold to us. It is what has been sold to us and... You know, this modern society, if you add wild to something, you expect to see college chicks topless. It is what you expect from wild.
Really?
So you were disappointed when you saw the reruns of Wild Wild West.
Or Wild Kingdom. For
yeah, I did expect to see Selma Hayek.
Naked yeah, chicks. Right. When you saw... Welcome to Wild Kingdom. And then you're thinking, oh, man, it's just giraffes and stuff.
And then the old guy comes up.
Yeah. Hello. Today we'll learn why the sloth is so frickin' slow. Blah, 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 blah. Where's the boobies is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, where are the boobies?
Where are the boobies? And with that, we will end the stinking show because where are the boobies? You really want to know. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to all of the fine listeners of the program. Without you, we are crap. I mention it all the time, and it's because... It's true. Thanks to Brian and Obsidian. Thank you to Sebastian, who puts together our mashups every week. He did another fine one this week, and you'll hear it right after this. Thanks to everybody who called in. You'll hear much of those calls after this as well. And special thanks to Rob for writing our theme song. If you'd like to be part of the show, email us, myextralife@gmail.com. Or you can call us on the crap line. That number is 206-203-CRAP. That's crap. That's fresh scat, or raw scat. Just for you to use yourself. And check out myextralife.com. Check out the comic that shows up 3 days a week. Sign up for the message boards. Be a part of the blog. It's all good fun there. And we'll see you guys next week for show number 108.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Life Radio.
It's like pizza and sex. Even when it's not the best, it's still pretty good.
Arr, it's a steering wheel, and it's driving me nuts.
You know you're not supposed to mix cold medicine, Scott. I don't know if you know this.
That may show up in the mashup next week.
The four-headed podcast monster.
Even though they got my name wrong, it's still a pretty cool name.
Did speak like a pirate?
Yarr.
I can see Obsidian jumping up and throwing his hands in the air. He doesn't have a cape, but he's like one of my favorite ones right next to Spider-Man. Because all he is an alcoholic in a piece of armor.
Oh my god. I'm a fanboy.
The irony is the last X-Men movie killed off more good guys than it ever did bad guys.
Everyone was talking about when we...
I hear that you're invincible. I prefer something big, huge, and green like the comic books I read as a kid.
Is she like 600 pounds?
Essentially, the movie is Queer Eye for the bad guy.
He did full frontal wiener stuff on that, I thought.
We snicker quietly and leave the room.
Hey, this is Ross Scott. Not that long of a listener and a first-time caller thingy. Anyway... I've been listening to the show for a while, big fan, and gotten through a bunch of the archives. Was waiting to see if I could get through the whole archive before asking this question, but you know what? After like 50-some-odd shows of trying to ignore my boss with headphones on, I think I'm just going to go ahead and ask it. How is it that you said in a few shows ago that you guys haven't all met, how is it that you guys all wound up doing this all together then, the whole podcast and thing? So, anyway... Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, LR guys. I just wanted to say I've drawn some interesting parallels to your show from the cast of Seinfeld. Just for instance, let's see, Scott would be like Jerry, the all-around good guy, reliable. Obsidian would be like Kramer, very funny, you know, always silly, always got something humorous and some weird action, something to do. But Brian and Andrew, they're a lot like George and Elaine, where one's doing good and the other's doing bad, and they can never both be, you know, just having a, you know, sort of a, just a good overall run together. It's kind of weird, and just for factual purposes, Brian's actually, he's above right now. Andrew's kind of sagging behind. Anywho, my two cents. Anywho, keep up with the good work. See ya. Frodo! Frodo!
I'm here, Sam.
Throw it in the fire!
Destroy it! No, Sam. The Ring of Power is mine. Frodo! What, Sam? How are the graphics?
Hi, this is Ryan again. I was just calling to say that, dang it. What did I call? Oh, yeah, I got my iMac. And the 20-inch model, so it's pretty awesome. I gotta say that using the Mac OS Tiger, whatever, it's kind of like, I don't know, this is either because it's new and everything runs fast, which World of Warcraft is great on here, but it just seems like they already figured things out. So it's like, oh, well, they already figured out what I should be doing next. And everything just kind of makes sense. Whereas Windows is, you kind of got a, like, guerrilla style. Just the brute force can change things. Anyway, so it's pretty cool. And, oh yeah, I used to do drafting, but I was in mechanical engineering. That's why my Photoshop skills are really bad. This is pretty much almost the first time, maybe like the third time I've used Photoshop. I just happened to have it on my PC. So that's why the quality was so horrible. But I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, bye.
Hi, my extra life here. This is Nick West, first time listener, long time caller. I just wanted to make a quick comment about your little thing that you had on last week's show about why they didn't kill all the supervillains. Well, back then, they wanted to, you know, emphasize that killing is wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. So they especially did that in cartoons, webcomics, or not webcomics, but regular comics, everything like that. But they also did it for a dual purpose. They also create them more storylines. They create more comics that way. They imprison them, they can always, a bad guy can always get out, and they can always, you know, recapture them and do other stuff. Well, that's all I had to say in my peace of mind at this time. I might leave another comment about this week's topic. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right, Scott, the deal with Master Chief, if you haven't read the books, yes, there are Halo books. No, they're not just some cheap attempt at franchising. This was a guy who went and was like, oh, I really like Halo. You know what? I'm going to make a backstory. Hey, Bungie, is this okay? Yeah, sure, dude. And so they made the books, and it's the official background, and it explains a lot of things. And it's actually really, really good books. It's actually some of my favorites. And Master Chief is a biologically engineered super warrior that was part of an army that were all destroyed at Reach. For those of you who don't know what Reach is, read the books. It also explains how the Pillar of Autumn got to the ring. And a lot of other things. Oh, and for those of you who did not like the Spawn movie, there should be one reason and one reason only. It was the least faithful things the comics have ever seen. Spawn took place in the near future of, like, 2010 or something, where, you know, they had giant plasma guns and cyborgs, and, well, he was using an Uzi to go through the whole, you know, dinner dance thing. What the hell? All right, bye.
Hey, Scott, first of all, on your last show, not the ELR Mini, but the ELR Maxi, the more absorbent of the ELR shows, you were talking about Master Chief, and if you read the manual for the first Halo game, it most clearly spells out that, yes, he is a genetically engineered super soldier, part of the Spartan Project, so there you go. But also, you guys were going to start off talking about Spider-Man, and you never came back to Spider-Man. Brian said to track you off all onto Superman, and you never came back to the Webhead. So, I just gotta say, that story made me nuts. Thanks, bye.
We're sorry, but you attempted to listen to the podcast. This situation has come to a halt. Please try your number and dial again. Thank you. We're stuck. Hi, this is Seamus, and I've recently been informed that over the past month, I have accumulated over $4 of long-distance calls of calling the crap line. By the way, it's in Seattle, if you didn't know. So now I'm going to have to resize these to a different format. The new format will be as follows. Hello, Scott. Bye.
Hello, Extra Life crew. This is Raul Duke from the forums. I was listening to show 106. You guys were talking about Heroes and the graphic novel The Watchmen. This is a film project that's kicked around to a bunch of different studios. I don't think they ever did any filming on it. I really don't think a feature film would do it justice. What I'd like to see is someone like HBO do a 12-part miniseries. That's really the only way I think you could do justice to the book. And speaking of Alan Moore, would really like to see at some point in the future a Batman movie done based on the Killing Joke story. Well, that's it for now. Really enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
Hi, Scott. This is Maxwell. I've got naked pictures of your sister. I'll sell them to you for $10. Maybe I'll sell you the negatives.
Hey, guys. This is Kareem from Germany. I loved your last show, and I respect all of your opinions except one. Blade 2. I know it's a movie and it's fantasy and all, but look at this one scene in this tunnel. There you have this light grenade and it exploding in the tunnel, and Blade, who doesn't want to be hit by the light, runs away from it and jumps into water, which is actually protecting him. Okay, so Blade is seeing the light before he runs away from it. Alright. And why is the water protecting him from the light? Okay, I hope you got my point and I haven't mixed things up. Keep it up.
The Tripod Network, what's on?